Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in! Episode 124, hosted by a man who might be the happiest person in the world to have not won $50,000. That's just a small footnote in my weekend. Yeah, you know what? The Niners couldn't come through, but you know who did come through? You know who always comes through? Patrick bleeping Mahomes. Burrowhead Stadium, big dogs of the AFC. Give me a break. The mayor of Cincinnati getting in on the trash talk, that cornball. Get out of here. So much to do, so much to discuss. We appreciate if you're watching live on YouTube, put your questions or comments in. Speaking of YouTube, we are less than 2,000 subscribers away from getting to the 100,000 we've been striving for. We had a deadline of January 1. We then extended the deadline until the Chiefs played their last game, which luckily we all knew was going to be the Super Bowl. So we need about 1,700 subscribers between now and then. You also subscribe to just the audio version on Apple or Spotify or wherever. All right, let's get right into it. What missed the cut? Let's see what is not on today's show. Novak Djokovic wins his 22nd Grand Slam, his 10th Australian Open. He's now 10-0 in Australian Open finals. Shout out to him. Tony Romo just can't help himself with making the NBA references. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I thought the Drexler Jordan reference was quite apropos. Clyde Drexler had made a finals before and lost. People were saying, could he be the second best shooting guard in, or the best shooting guard in basketball, not Jordan? If he wins this, does he have bragging rights over Jordan? And then Jordan crushed him in those finals. I actually thought the Jordan Drexler Mahomes Burrow thing was pretty damn good. I thought I heard Bill Simmons this morning take big issue with it. I didn't take issue with it. And the Empire State Building gets roasted on Twitter because people on Twitter just can't handle anything that is with nuance whatsoever. It's like, oh my God, everyone in New York, all Giants fans hate the Eagles. They're doing Eagles colors. They put on their damn schedule that they, because they light up the top of the Empire State right. Building to celebrate things. They were going to do whichever team won the NFC and then whichever team won the AFC, and the Eagles got it done. But we will talk about the Eagles and the Niners and me not hitting that $50,000 future later. Demonze, good to see you. Demonze won some money yesterday.
Yeah.
Now listen, it's not money that's going to, you know, go get him 10 shares of Berkshire Hathaway stock. However, it's better than a loss. Let's get right to it. Go right ahead.
A win's a win.
Yeah.
All right, your Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl. A little bit of help from the refs.
Okay, you know what? Before you even get to the question, start the clock, put the rundown on the side. I'm going to get right to it. Everybody shut your damn mouth about the refs, okay? Let's go through the critical calls from this game. First half, the Bengals are absolutely flailing about. Burrow has thrown a pick. There's less than 2 minutes left. He had thrown a pick on the previous drive. He throws another pick. They're down 10. And what happens? A late flag comes in, calls pass interference because he got there a split second early. Bengals keep the ball. The Bengals end up getting 3 points. It's a critical moment in the game. If they're fixing it for Kansas City, you don't think that they throw that flag. Now let's go to later in the game. Or it might have been before that, I'm not sure. The Chiefs score a touchdown. And it comes off the board because of a holding penalty that they did not have to call. It was on the inside on a run play. It was not like one of those holding penalties where you get a guy around the throat and everybody sees it and throws his arms up. Now, listen, both of those were fine calls. My point is the idea that every call went in the Chiefs' favor is nonsense. Now, the do-over on third and nine, I would be apoplectic if the Chiefs had gotten the first down and then they're like, no, we have to do it over. With that said, 2 points on that. The first one, the Chiefs would have been punting from the 40. They ended up punting from the 40. So, yeah, it cost the Bengals about 30 seconds, but that 30 seconds ultimately would have helped the Chiefs, not the Bengals, and it had no impact on the game. None. And we did see that the ref from up top came running in, just nobody could hear him. So could they have let it go? Sure. But give me a break. And now all of a sudden people going Zapruder on the Mahomes run like, oh, there might have been holding. We are not going to rehash non-holding calls at the end of every football game. Give me a break. Take your referee complaints and shove it. And the idea that, oh, well, what about the personal foul at the end? What about it? That has been called all year for multiple years. You can dislike the rule. You can say it's bad luck, all those things. But one other part of that, okay? One other part of that that's very important. If he doesn't get shoved out of bounds, they have 8 seconds left and the clock is stopped. They are on the 42, okay? If you think Mahomes is not finding a way to get 6 to 10 yards on that next play and it's going to be a Butker 50-yarder, you're out of your mind. He's out of your mind. He's going to make the play. So enough with the referee complaints, Cincinnati. Go ahead now. You can get to the question.
All right. Given him and his team being played with injuries and the competition, do you think this is Patrick Mahomes' best game yet?
Okay. So this is some prisoner of the moment stuff people are going to do today. So I just want to remind people of what Patrick Mahomes has done in the playoffs at this point in his career. Because you want to call it his best game, here are the other contenders. AFC Championship game against the Patriots, his first year as a starter. 3 fourth-quarter comebacks, 24 fourth-quarter points, including getting the ball with 30 seconds left, down 3, and getting them in field goal range. By the way, Patrick Mahomes, 3 times in his playoff career, has gotten the ball with less than a minute left. 30 seconds against the Patriots, 13 seconds against the Bills, and 40 seconds last night, and 3 times has driven his team for the tying or winning points. Every other quarterback in league history, none of them have done it more than once. Mahomes has done it 3 times. But the game against the Patriots, they lost, didn't get the coin flip, they lost, so take that off. The next football game he played was against the Houston Texans. They were down 24-0 in the second quarter. They ended up scoring 51 points, and he threw 5 touchdowns. That's a pretty good one. I'm going to say that's on the short list.
It's versus the Texans, and probably not as banged up as they were yesterday.
Correct. The Bills game last year, throws for 325, runs for another, I think, 60, 4 total touchdowns, executes a game-tying drive with 13 seconds left, and a game-winning drive in overtime. That one's pretty good. I'm sorry, and by the way, I shortchanged him. He threw for 380 in that game and ran for 70, 4 touchdowns. He also had, obviously, a 5-touchdown, 400-yard game against the Steelers, but nobody cares, even though that's the playoffs. I think the Bills game was more he played better. I think yesterday's game was the most impressive. For Patrick Mahomes, it's not just his injury, okay? It's the fact that At the end of the game, DeMonte, Juju's out, Hardman's out, Tony's out. On defense, by the way, the number one corner, L'Jarius Sneed's out basically the entire game. Mahomes converted a key first down to Marcus Kemp. Marcus Kemp, DeMonte, has been in the league for 4 or 5 years. He has 4 catches and 24 tackles because he's a special teamer. And that's who Mahomes is throwing to. Yesterday, I give credit. Marquez Valdes-Scantling stepped up.
Yep.
Travis Kelce did Travis Kelce things. But they had, if you take out the Mahomes runs, they ran the ball 17 times for 34 terrible yards. They couldn't run. The receivers are out. Mahomes had a chance to fold when the ball slips out of his hands. And Patrick Mahomes came through again. Now, with that said, he's not the only guy who came through. I tweeted about this. I'm going to point this out again here. The Chiefs had 4 first-team All-Pros. Let's see what they did yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was one of them. He was utterly brilliant on one leg. Travis Kelce was another. He was double-teamed the entire game, still found a way to score the opening touchdown, have 7 catches, 75 yards. He, by the way, now, all-time playoff catches, Kelce is in second to Jerry Rice. Touchdowns, Kelce is in second to Jerry Rice. Yards, Kelce is in second to Jerry Rice. He is the second greatest playoff receiving threat of all time, bar none. That's your second first-team All-Pro, Travis Kelce. The third was Chris Jones, who got the ball back for the Chiefs with that third down sack of Joe Burrow after, I got to tell you, there was a moment I had some trepidation in that game. The 3rd-and-16 conversion. The 3rd-and-16 conversion, I was like, you can't recover from something like that. And Chris Jones on the very next set of downs ends the drive with a sack. Mahomes then gets the ball. And the last first-team All-Pro on the team is the punter, who, by the way, had a brilliant game. And that coffin corner punt with 2.5 minutes left set everything in motion.
Right.
And you can say it's silly to be focused on that. Let me tell you this much. Think that Bengals punter wants the line drive down the middle of the field back that he kicked to Sky Moore with 40 seconds left?
Right.
So all of the Chiefs' best players stepped up. Frank Clark was excellent. The young corners were good enough.
Right.
And Chiefs GM Brett Veach, Pacheco, 7th-round pick. How many big catches and runs did he have? Watson, 7th-round pick, another interception. Sky Moore, rookie, the big punt return. Karlaftis, rookie, sack. McDuffie, rookie, kept, you know, did his best, if you would, on Chase and Higgins. It's an unbelievable game. All right, next.
So you are admitting that there were some doubts along the way.
The third and when they converted the 3rd-and-16, it was a emotionally devastating moment.
Right.
Is what I'll call it.
All right. So Burrow obviously had many chances at his 4th straight 3-point win over Mahomes. Mm-hmm. With Mahomes finally beating Burrow, it's officially a rivalry. I highly doubt this will be the last time these two square off in a championship game. Do you think Mahomes and Burrow is the next Manning or Brady situation, or is it too early to tell?
Here's my problem with these Manning-Brady comps. Who's who? So with Manning-Brady, this was what I tried to point out with the Josh Allen-Mahomes thing. With Manning-Brady, Manning had all the stats.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Brady does all the winning.
Mahomes would have to be Brady, but he's not quite yet Brady because...
But Mahomes is also Manning. He has way better stats too. Than Burrow.
Right.
Mahomes won is about to win his second MVP. Burrow's never won one.
Right.
Mahomes is going to his 3rd Super Bowl. Burrow's been to one. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is both guys. That's the problem. The problem with any of these comps. Here's what I'll say. Everybody was convinced Mahomes Allen, we are going to get it for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's going to be convinced Mahomes Burrow. We're going to need it for years and years and years. But the prince is coming. Don't get it twisted there. At one point, Justin Herbert is not going to have the worst injury luck in a bad coaching situation. The consistent part of this will be Mahomes. Those other guys are going to be fighting each other.
Like rappers.
And yeah, sure. And here's the other thing, man. The Bengals got a real tough call this offseason. Are they going to run it back one more year and then lose T. Higgins for basically nothing? Or are they going to trade T. Higgins this offseason, similar to what the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill? It's a tough pill to swallow, but you got to pay Burrow this offseason. You're paying Chase next offseason. There's no way you can pay Higgins as well. So the Bengals and the Bengals offensive line will be healthier. I understand all that. But this idea that they're just going to be in it every year, that's not how this works. The Chiefs and the Patriots, each of them have, at least one of them, has been in the last 12 AFC championship games. 12 AFC championship games where the Chiefs-Patriots have been in it, okay? Why am I bringing that up? Because they have played in those 12 games the following teams. The Ravens, the Broncos, the Colts, the Steelers, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Bills, the Bengals. So the Patriots dynasty, the Chiefs dynasty, which will be a dynasty here shortly, that's 12 times half of the bracket, and in one of them, both of it, has been one of those teams. In those 12 games, they have played, again, Ravens, Broncos, Colts, Steelers, Jags, Titans, Bills, Bengals. That's eight. So the rest of the AFC, half of them have made it at least once. Hard to make this game a bunch of times. Credit to the Bengals for making it a couple times. The Broncos during the Manning era made it a couple times. The Ravens made it a couple times. Hard to make this game a bunch. So this idea that we're just going to get Burrow Mahomes, maybe, or maybe next year in the first round, Tyler Huntley doesn't fumble the ball and the Bengals go out in round one. Maybe. Sure. Hard to get there. You've got to take advantage of your opportunities. And here's what I know about rivalries. Yeah, you're right. The Bengals have won three. They had won three. I'm very happy for them. One mattered. One game mattered, and it was the one in the AFC Championship game last year. But Patrick Mahomes now has played 5 years in this league. He has made the Super Bowl in three of those five, and the 2 years he didn't, he lost in overtime of the conference championship game. One of those years while never touching the ball. So history says you want to beat Patrick Mahomes, you can hope he has his once every 5 years meltdown like he did last year, or have Tom Brady. Other than that, he's winning. Next.
All right, so we got the poll. Is Mahomes, bro, the next Manning Brady? 53% say yes, 47% say no.
Okay, let me ask one other question real quick before we move on. So I did the quarterback rankings on last week's TV show, and I think on this as well, where I said the updated rankings are Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, this was after Burrow Allen, and the third best quarterback in football is Patrick Mahomes on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
DeMonte, do I need to update those rankings? Because Patrick Mahomes sure as hell seemed like the better quarterback yesterday, and he was on one leg. Are the accurate updated rankings Mahomes 1, Mahomes on one leg 2, and then everybody else?
Yeah, I'd say I probably got to put Jalen Hurts in there.
Jalen Hurts after Mahomes on one leg or before Mahomes on one leg?
Probably in between them.
Okay, all right, we'll see. All right, let's go to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts now.
All right, well, a team that you gave little credit to, doubted all season, mm-hmm. was in the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah.
They thoroughly beat down a team on their fourth QB in San Francisco.
Yep.
But more importantly, they shut down your 50-1 ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Are you nervous for the matchup, or are you going to act like everything's all good?
All right, listen, of course I'm nervous for the matchup. The Eagles' defensive line is excellent. Their running game is excellent. Now, Jalen didn't play very well in that game, but he didn't need to.
Right.
He does seem to be banged up, and I don't understand why, when that game was clearly in hand, they just kept running him, including on a drive where it seemed like he kind of got hurt on a run. Then they ran three more run plays. But here's what, listen, I was wrong about Philly. Now, it is, I will say this. You know, Mahomes' path to the Super Bowl was the Prince and then Joe Burrow. Had Joe Burrow made it, his path would have been Josh Allen and then Mahomes, right, in the last two rounds. The Eagles got Daniel Jones and then Josh Johnson and then Brock Purdy, who wasn't allowed to throw. Credit to them, though, you play who's in front of you. Does the NFL need to figure out a way to get some more good quarterbacks in that conference? Maybe. But that's not what I want to focus on here. What I want to focus on is the Eagles won that game, yes, because of the quarterback injury. But before the quarterback injury, they were the sharper team. They were the better coach team. So all year long, they've gone for fourth downs. They didn't change that because it's the conference championship game. Fourth and three, they go for it. Now, the thing is, they didn't really get it, right? And this is where NFL, this is where Kyle Shanahan must be better. And I, DeMonte can attest to this. In real time, I said it before we got any of the replays. DeMonte was in a bit of a fog because he had a first touchdown scoring prop on Christian McCaffrey. And he was very upset that the Eagles were driving. But yes, do that again.
When he was doing the
thing. Did I or did I not point that out as it happened?
Oh, you did.
So it's fourth and three. DeVonta Smith catches that long pass. We don't get a great replay of it in real time from Fox. But DeVonta Smith starts signaling something. He's punching his fist together. And the entire Eagles team rushes. The moment that happens, on as big of a play as you can have, it's a turnover.
Right, exactly.
It's fourth down. I know it's the first quarter, and I know you want to be careful with challenges. But the moment you see the opposition doing that, when the guy who made the catch is the one letting everyone know we've got to hurry, on that high leverage of a play, Shanahan, you must drop your challenge flag. Now, let me tell you something else. And you and I talked about this. Eventually, because there's always reaction to the reactions, right? Eventually, teams will start doing that, recognizing, oh, wait, the guy who caught it's kind of freaking out. Let's go, let's challenge the play. The reaction to that is, and this is why I should do a weekend coaching consultancy, charge all these teams $100,000 or $250,000 a team, and everyone would be better. There is a really smart pivot to that, which is teach your guys on crazy catches that you know you got, let's have a different signal where we're all going to hurry, but we're not actually going to snap it. We're going to pretend we're hurrying to see if we can bait them into a bad challenge,
right?
But teams aren't sophisticated enough yet to worry about that. Eventually, they'll get there.
I think Shanahan would be there.
So here's the thing about Shanahan. Shanahan is a brilliant play designer, a brilliant offensive mind. His in-game coaching has left a lot to be desired over the years. A lot. He gets very conservative in these games. And he didn't, that was a Nick Sirianni taught these guys, hey, guys, we need to have a somewhat subtle signal that everyone knows if we think we got lucky on a call to get everyone down there. And they executed it perfectly. If that doesn't happen, it's 0-0, Niners ball near midfield, and maybe Purdy eventually gets hurt, but maybe not. That one play changed the entire trajectory of that game.
Right.
That was a coaching note. So credit to DeVonta Smith, credit to the Eagles. And that's a bad job by Shanahan because I noticed it. And I thought.
And then the replay made it even crazier.
The replay made
it. The ball was gone.
Crystal clear.
Yeah.
Made it, but they didn't get the replay in time. But you can't be so dependent on the replay. You just can't be. It was, by the way, the exact same type of catch, non-catch Kadarius Toney would have had in the Chiefs game. And that one was
the exact opposite happened.
And so it's odd, though, because it was actually lucky for Philly that that wasn't a touchdown. Because touchdowns are automatically reviewed.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the because it was the perfect spot for them to get lucky on it, but they also had to execute. Devontae, first of all, had to go up and snag it so it could have been a catch and then had to, because what you sometimes see guys do on plays like that is then, like, celebrate. You know what I mean? Like, hold the ball out, do a whole thing to try to, like, pretend they got it. But that gives the other team more time. So, great job. Great job by them. Now, as far as my confidence level, listen, I believe the Chiefs are the better team. I believe the Chiefs have the best player on the field. And I believe the Chiefs' defense just did something it hasn't done one time in the entire Mahomes era. Can say we're as big of a reason for that win as the offense was.
Yeah.
100%, right? Yeah. I mean, they stepped up huge in that fourth quarter. Special teams. With that said, Eagles have built one hell of a roster. This is going to be a great Super Bowl. I'm not going to, but I do want to see if Jalen Hurts is as compromised physically as he appeared to be in this game. Because the other part about that game is there were, so it's 7-7. The Niners are out of quarterbacks. They're going to be able to get off the field. They had one drive where they had, what, five defensive penalties that extended the drive. Then the very next drive,
key spots.
Josh Johnson just drops the ball.
Right.
And now it's 21-7 and it's over. So I oddly didn't think Philly was overwhelming in that spot. No. The Niners were just in a really rough spot. Next.
Yeah, for a team as good as the Niners are, they're in a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah.
San Francisco invested heavily in Trey Lance a few seasons ago, but Purdy was obviously great. Who do you predict will be the week one starter in the Bay next year?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance?
Guys, I know nobody likes when I do this, but you know what I really care about? Pedigree. Your rivals ranking coming out of high school. How good the entire world thought you were coming out of college. And the entire world watched Brock Purdy play 4 years of college football. And the entire world passed on him seven times or more in the draft. The entire world saw Trey Lance play basically 1 year of small college football. And he went in the top three. Now you can say the Niners reached on him, but he was going to be a first round pick no matter what. Purdy needed to have, in order for him to be the unquestioned week one starter, he needed to win the Super Bowl. Had they just gotten there, I don't think it would have been unquestioned. Now, there seems to be some Tom Brady smoke again with the Niners. I think Brady is going to the Raiders, personally. Josh McDaniels, yeah. So the Raiders got rid of Carr. Josh McDaniels was his offensive coordinator. There's a lot of reasons I think that. But I think Trey Lance is going to get every opportunity to win that job because, yeah, they invested three first-round picks in him, but also they have to decide whether, you know, his fifth-year option, is they got to make the decision on that after next year. And the idea that Trey Lance, listen, Trey Lance, when he played last season, played fine. This year, his first game, he was bad. But it was truly in a monsoon in Chicago. And then his second game, he played like one drive and got his leg broke. So we don't know if he's good or not. I know that there were reports they didn't love him in training camp and all that stuff. Brock Purdy, you can't go into the year with Brock Purdy being your guy. If you want to be your backup and feel great about your backup situation, fine. But Trey Lance is going to be the starter. What's the poll question?
All right, who will be the week one starter? 46% say Lance, 42% say Purdy, 12%, 13% say other.
All right, we've still got a lot more to do. We've got games to play. We're going to talk a little Rodgers and Brady. I'm going to find more ways to talk about how god dog brilliant Patrick Mahomes was. We'll do it all next. What's right?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, welcome back in. Episode 124, What's Right with Nick Wright, as we have a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. Two best teams all year. Two of the healthiest teams. Now we'll see what the Chiefs' wide receiver injuries are. Snead, I think, they got to have Snead back. The loss of Legarius Snead in this game, it was really worrisome for me. Now, his injury was a concussion, which, given the fact that it's 2 weeks until the Super Bowl, he's not a guy who's had a bunch of concussions. You expect him to be back.
Right.
But, I mean, Tony, the Kadarius Tony who got hurt, that was the knock on him with the Giants, was hurt all the time. He's been hurt now twice with the Chiefs. Hardman had been out for 2.5 months, came back. And by the way, shout out to Hardman, because he came back
and got banged up and went out.
Yes. But the play he got hurt on, which might be his last play of the season, because you miss 2.5 months, come back, and then get hurt again, he might be done for the he might not be ready in 2 weeks, was a third down catch on a drive we scored a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So shout out to him. And then Juju, the broadcast just didn't recognize that Juju was injured. They were talking about how they had all the backups in.
What type of coverage?
But can I tell you something? It was not a great job by CBS. It just wasn't a great broadcast. I apologize. Romo was wrong a half dozen times. I'm not trying to throw stones here, but it wasn't a great broadcast. All right, before we get to the next topic, there was the question of, is Burrow Mahomes the next Manning Brady?
Right.
And I said, how could it be when Mahomes is both guys? Shout out to president and founder of Blue Duck Media, Gabe Goodwin, who was one of the very first people to ever be nice to me when Fox hired me, kind of took me under his wing a little bit, showed me around the campus. And I give Gabe a hard time because Gabe sometimes tweets about podcasts he likes more than at my podcast during my podcast. But he did build this company that produces this show. He also just had I grade how good a sports take is in my own head based on whether or not, when I read it, I'm jealous that I didn't come up with it. And Gabe just came up with one that's so good that I'm giving him all these compliments of being so nice to him, in part because I'm going to say this on television today as if it were my own. You guys, everyone watching on YouTube, can know it came from Gabe, but this one, for the TV audience, your buddy Nick Wright came up with this one. Gabe wrote, it's not Manning Brady. It's Tiger versus the field. Sergio, Phil, Duvall, Rory, Spieth, or Allen, Herbert, Lawrence, it's Burrow, etc. He is exactly right. There will be a different rival that pops up each time, with the consistent being Mahomes will be the hammer. And will he win every single major? Will he win every single AFC championship game and every single Super Bowl? No. But he will be there, and then the other guys will rotate.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And so it's not a Federer-Nadal situation or Federer-Djokovic where there's three great guys, and it's more Sampras versus all the guys of his era where he was the consistent guy, and then it rotated. It's exactly right, Gabe. It's a great point, and I'm so glad that I came up with it. All right, next, Demonte.
All right, we'll circle back to the Super Bowl in a second. But one other huge story came out in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You predicted Rodgers to the Jets and Brady's to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure we're going to show watching on YouTube.
Yep, go ahead.
The moves would mean that every top quarterback outside of Hurts would reside in the AFC. Dak and Kyler would be top three, the top three NFC quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If your predictions are right, will either of them ever be relevant again?
Not to win championships, no. And by the way, I don't know if Rodgers and Brady are still top quarterbacks.
Right.
They're top quarterback names.
Right.
Now, I do think Rodgers on the Jets, they should be a playoff team. They would have been a playoff team this year with Jimmy Garoppolo. They just got kneecapped by their quarterback situation, right?
Yeah.
That defense is awesome. They have skill position guys. They're getting Breece Hall back. And Garrett Wilson's awesome. We've talked about this before, and we talked about it live when it happened. Nat Hackett got the Broncos job because, according to Chris Collinsworth, Rodgers loved playing cornhole with them, and he made Rodgers laugh when they were in Green Bay together. They thought they were going to get Rodgers. They didn't. The Jets just hired him to run the offense. He ran the Jags offense, which was terrible, years ago. And then he ran the Packers offense, but he didn't really run the Packers offense because Mike LaFleur was the Packers, Matt LaFleur is the Green Bay Packers head coach. Nat Hackett worked for him. Mike LaFleur, his brother, was the Jets offensive coordinator who just got fired for Nat Hackett to come in for. Point is this, they're doing this to get Rodgers.
Right.
I think they're getting Rodgers. Now, when it comes to Brady, the Dolphins came out and said, that's not true. Schefter reported that the Dolphins are sticking with Tua, who, by the way, can't participate in the Pro Bowl because he's still in concussion protocol. It's a little concerning. Also, it also means that there is a chance that the Pro Bowl has to go to the fourth alternate, which would be Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowl. I don't understand how that one works. That one. I don't get it. I promise you I don't get it. But set that aside. So the Dolphins, if they're really off the board for Brady, the only possibilities are San Francisco, but I think they need to see Trey play. Tennessee and the Raiders. Josh McDaniels is with the Raiders. They have Devontae Adams. They have Josh Jacobs. They just got rid of Derek Carr. You do all those things, I would imagine. You don't get rid of Derek Carr without a plan. And the plan is not Stidham. So I think it's Brady to the Raiders and Rodgers to the Jets. All right, let's play a game.
All right, today we're playing right or wrong. Teams with the two best records in the NFL are headed to the Super Bowl. So does this mean that they're the two best? Or did a better team miss out? Right or wrong, the two best teams are in the Super Bowl.
No, I think given the quarterback injuries to San Francisco, these are the two best teams. The Chiefs are clearly one of the two best teams. And the Niners, listen, you can't they lost three quarterbacks to what looks like season-ending injuries. You can't survive it. Do I think the Niners fully healthy are better than the Eagles? I do. But, it's a war of attrition, so to speak. The Eagles, by the way, lost their quarterback for a few weeks this year, but they had played well enough leading up to it. They were still able to be the one seed. What it does mean is this. If the Chiefs win this Super Bowl, they will have beaten every team that matters this year. They beat the Bengals. The Niners are on a 12-game winning streak that the last team to beat them was the Chiefs, and now they get the Eagles. They beat the Chargers twice. They beat the Bills. They beat Tom Brady. They beat every team that matters this year except for Buffalo, I guess. Sorry, Buffalo. Hang the banner. You beat the Chiefs, but it didn't matter for you. The four or five, it's really rare to have a season where you end up being able to say you the entirety of the final four, except for you can't beat yourself. The Chiefs now have that opportunity. So I do think these are the two best teams. Listen, I was too low on Philly. They've proven it. And I didn't work into... I didn't give them getting the bye in the one seed enough credit for what it was going to mean for them. That they were going to be able to get a little healthier in the bye and that they were... I was just certain the Vikings were going to beat the Giants and Philly would be playing a real team in round two, be it Dallas or Tampa. Now, Tampa ended up not being a real team, but Dallas had given Philly trouble this year. But because the Giants won, when you're the one seed, you get the worst team remaining because the playoffs reseed. By the way, that helped the Chiefs too. They got the Jags and the Prince instead of having to deal with Cincinnati around earlier or Buffalo around earlier. So that's where the regular season does matter. I give credit to the Eagles. Also, you know, I got Demonze. So have I ever told you, I think I've told you the story about, so the Eagles in 2017, my first year on TV, they have Carson Wentz. They're like, I don't know, 13-1 or something. The Eagles in 2017 had a guy named Carson Wentz. Well, you know who Carson Wentz is. But that year, he looked like he was going to be league MVP. And with a month left in the season, he was running, trying to run for a touchdown, dove for it, and got his leg snapped. Leg broken. And I went on TV and said, okay, you can't win the Super Bowl. You had the league MVP. He's done for the year. You're not winning the Super Bowl. And they kept winning, right? So they were the one seed that year as well. They play in the NFC Championship game against Minnesota. My TV partner at the time was Chris Carter, Vikings legend. Yeah. So Chris and I, along with Dusty, went to Eagles-Vikings, trip to Super Bowl on the line, and sat in the Vikings owner's box. Demonze, these Eagles fans started a F Nick Wright chant, were pounding on the glass at the thing. I mean, they were rabid with anger. That game started 7-0 Minnesota and ended 38-7 Philly. And I wasn't afraid, but I thought it could get sideways on me. Right. For real. These Eagles fans don't mess around. So now I've done it again, where I've doubted the Eagles, said they were going to be one and done. They find themselves in the Super Bowl. The difference is I now like to go to Philly a lot. I play poker there. Your mom likes to shop there. We take weekend trips to Philly like once every couple of months. I don't know if I'm welcome. And so it's kind of a bad beat for me. They got great casinos. I love playing cards there. But hey, listen, shout out to the Birds.
I mean, if the Chiefs win, I feel like you got some respect out there.
Man.
Disrespectful respect.
Chiefs, Eagles.
Respectful disrespect.
Good. All right, next.
All right, the Bengals spent all week tempting fate by calling Arrowhead Burrowhead.
It's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. Sorry for cursing YouTube audience.
Even the mayor of the Cincinnati got into it. The Chiefs with the whole paternity test thing. By the way.
Yeah, the mayor of Cincinnati claimed to have a paternity test saying Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes' father.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's wildly wild.
That's like Madden trolling.
Yeah.
It's like something you say on the game.
Yeah, go ahead.
But the Chiefs clearly noticed. Did it actually matter, in your opinion? Right or wrong, the Bengals would have won if they didn't talk to so much mess.
I'm going to say wrong, but here's what I'm going to say. I used to believe bulletin board material was a figment of the media's imagination. It's like, okay, so you're telling me to trip to the Super Bowl, it's the best players in the world, you know, they weren't going to be at peak motivation. But now, because somebody said something, they're going to try harder. Logically, it never made sense to me. Okay? But literally every great athlete ever seems to talk about this stuff. That we saw what they said. It bothered us. We were disrespected. Teams, like the Bengals against the Bills, did seem to play better.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were angry that they thought the NFL wanted Chiefs-Bills. They were selling those tickets. And then the Bengals flipped the whole thing because they couldn't help themselves and they wanted to talk trash. The one guy who didn't do it was Burrow.
Joe Burrow
knew better. But Eli Apple couldn't stop talking. Mike Hilton couldn't stop talking. All these guys, chirp, 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 were the What did Joe Mixon? Did Joe Mixon play yesterday?
Yeah, he definitely played.
I know he played. Oh, but I want to know what he did. Because Joe Mixon, we're the big dogs now. Let's see.
Who day?
Joe Mixon had 8 carries. How many yards do you think he had on those 8 carries?
Like 28.
19. Yeah, that's a nice.
Yeah, they had a pretty
tonight's 2.375 yards per carry. By the way, I know I'm annoying, but I got to see if I got that exactly right to the 1,000th. 19 divided by 8. Is it 2.375? Let's find out together. Oh. You know what? I got to tell you, you're really dealing with a special grain over here, my friend.
Rain man.
I mean, just nail it. But good job, Joe Mixon. Good job. Good effort. He got three catches for 15 yards. So Joe Mixon touched the ball 11 times, got a grand total of 34 yards on those 11 touches. That's 3.09 yards per touch, by the way. The nine's repeating. Good job, big dogs of the AFC. Yeah, they talk too much trash. And I tried to bait Quentin, the mayor of Kansas City, my buddy, into firing on that mayor in Cincinnati. But I think they're buddies, so I don't think he's going to do it. But it was outrageous. All right, next.
All right, every year the media picks one storyline to run with for 2 weeks. This year, Reed facing Philly is ex-team, or the Kelce bros becoming the first brothers to play against each other are huge stories, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's also the first time two black quarterbacks face off. What is it going to be? Right or wrong, Kelce brothers facing off is the best storyline of the Super Bowl.
No, I think Andy Reid against the Eagles is the best storyline.
Better?
I mean, listen, I want to...
But brothers have faced off in the Super Bowl before. With,
correct.
Was it Shanahan?
Or well, coaching brothers have.
Coaching brothers.
No. It was Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, yeah. Ravens versus...
The Ravens versus the Niners.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was probably an unnecessary curse there. Here's what I want to say about Andy Reid. Andy Reid coached in Philly for how many years? 14 years. Here's the games how many games they won each year. First year they won 5. Then 11, 12, 12, 13. Down year 6, 10, 8. 9, 11, 10, 8, 4, fired. They made the playoffs 9 times. They won a playoff game 7 years that he was there. They made the conference championship game 5 times with Andy Reid there, okay? Now, they only won that conference championship game once. For Andy to get redemption, it's all-time stuff. Yeah. And by the way, hold on, list of coach playoff wins wiki. Okay, so Andy Reid now, when it comes to playoff victories all-time, excuse me, he is in second place by himself with 21. Only Belichick is ahead of him. So Andy Reid is the second most playoff wins ever. And when it comes to regular season wins, he's 5th all time at 247. He will next year pass Tom Landry, and it will just be Don Shula, George Halas, and Bill Belichick ahead of him. The guy's a legend, a true legend, and I think that's a bigger story. The Kelce brothers thing is unbelievable. But here's why I don't think it's going to be as big of a story. One is they won't match up against each other because they both obviously play on offense, right? The other thing is we right now might be like in the golden age of NFL brothers. So Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce, both Hall of Famers in my opinion. Joey Bosa and Nicky Bosa, not Hall of Famers yet, but Hall of Fame talent. J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt. One, no doubt, Hall of Famer. One en route with a third brother, Derek, who's fine as a fullback. We got a lot of... And then on a lower level, Quinnen and Quincy Williams, who play on the Jets together.
It's wild.
Yeah. Well, it also kind of shows you that... kids out there, if you want to be a pro athlete, I wish you luck, and you should try as hard as you can and chase your dreams.
It's in the genes.
Also, it kind of helps if your dad was an awesome athlete.
Yeah.
It kind of helps if you're like, and I know, Demonze, you don't know if you're gonna have kids or not or what you're gonna do, but if you do decide at some point you want to have kids and it's like two girls that you're deciding, who do I want to be serious with?
Yeah.
You could maybe err on the side of, like, if one of them played college volleyball or something.
Right. Yo, I'm getting a call. Sorry, guys. I'm getting a call right now from Kansas City or Kansas. Do you think that this is any chance this is about my driver's license?
I don't know. Go answer it. Just go see who it is. Who cares? I said go answer it. I'm very curious if it is. Let's find out together, Demonze, if that is about your driver's license. Just doing a podcast. He's so worried about his driver's license. I was telling him, giving him life advice about who he should have kids with. So the last point that I was not about your driver's license, they hung up on you. You got fried. I guess you'll find out together. I don't think the Kelce brothers are going to be the dominant story, but I think it will be a big story. All right, they're calling again. Let's just find out together.
No.
Oh, that's true. Gabe. Okay, all right, next. What's the next question?
All right, so the big game is on Fox this year, so yeah. I have two questions. First off, right or wrong, Nick will be attending the Super Bowl in person.
Wrong. I'm gonna be in Arizona the week of. I'm going to be doing shows for Fox, but I don't want to go to the game.
You don't want to go?
No. I don't like watching. I would be more interested in going to the game if the Chiefs weren't playing it. I don't like watching.
Yeah, you don't really get to do
I don't want to be around people. Yeah. I don't want to be. No, I don't want to be there. So, no, I'm not going. Someone gave me tickets, I'd give them away to somebody. I don't want to go. It's too much.
All right.
It's just too much. I get anxious just thinking about it. Next.
So, I guess next question is, if somebody ends up giving you those Super Bowl tickets, will you give them to me?
No.
No?
Why would I give them to you?
Oh, I was just, the second question is just kind of like irrelevant now.
Why?
Because it's next.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, DeMonte will be attending the Super Bowl in person. No, that's wrong as well. Now, I am curious to see. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm going to do between now and the Super Bowl. I usually just like ignore requests. People, if I don't have a relationship with the person already, and they're like, hey, come on my show or do this or whatever, I just ignore it. I just don't respond. I'm going to every request that I get for any media this week that isn't from a friend or someone that I've done stuff with before, I'm going to reply and say I'm unavailable. However, you can get my podcast co-host, DeMonte, and you're going to end up doing like radio hits in Philly. I'm very excited for it. All right, we've got a few more. We got to talk for a moment about how the Lakers game ended, and we've got to get to your guys' questions in the final block of the show. Take a quick break. We'll see if DeMonte makes this whole break without taking a personal call. We'll do that next. What's Right?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Oh, we're back. Hey, welcome back in. Episode 124. Sorry, I was reading some of the listener comments or viewer comments, which have been excellent, by the way. Please type in your comments now. We'll get to them shortly. I'm going to spend a couple minutes while we compile some more listener questions and comments in the chat talking about the basketball game from this weekend. DeMonte, go right ahead.
All right, the Lakers-Celtics game was about as embarrassing as it gets. The refs missed a call on LeBron, and of course, he threw a tantrum.
What do you mean, of course? He's just the greatest player ever who once again gets hosed by the refs. It's almost like the refs are as invested as the entirety of the media is in trying to tarnish this man's legacy. Guy, you can have a game-winning layup to beat the Celtics on national television right before he breaks Kareem's record. Jason Tatum essentially tries to amputate his arm, and the refs think, oh, LeBron just missed the rim on a layup.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Go ahead.
A lot of R&B songs that go very well in sync with LeBron's like little tantrum.
Okay, great. What was that? D'Angelo, Danielle? Was he the one who was singing shirtless?
If I had one wish?
Yeah, no, that's not D'Angelo, but go ahead.
But all right, then Patrick Beverley took it upon himself to show a ref a camera, which resulted in a
which is an outrageous thing to do right before you go to overtime.
Classic Pat.
He's such a clown.
Yeah. Then the NBA refs apologized very dramatically on Twitter. So we're going to show a graphic for those watching on YouTube.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the refs said they feel terribly and they missed it. Yeah,
they finally owned up to it. Uh-huh. Right or wrong, LeBron should have just made the layup.
What? I'll go to hell, whoever wrote this question. We should have just made the layup. He got... Do people think Jason Tatum's not a big, strong person? Some people think he's the league MVP. How tall is he? 6'8"?
Yeah, about.
220?
Thereabout.
Going full forth, hitting him in the arm. I you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that was not a makeable layup. Hey, go ahead. It looks so wrong.
The ref said they missed the angle. What do you have to say about this angle? Looks like a travel to me.
Give me a break. We're going to now all of a sudden this. Oh, okay.
One, two.
Okay, guys.
Three.
Okay. It's obviously not a travel. That is a gather
step
and then a step and a half. That's first of all. Second of all, stop it. We're having a great day. Go to the next question.
So what about Patrick Beverley, though? Here's him with the camera. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were wondering what he was looking at on that, but thank God we have amazing technology, and we can show you exactly what we're looking at.
Let me see.
We're going to zoom in. Uh-oh.
Oh, this is me saying hedging for cowards and then crying. Okay, I wasn't crying. All right.
Close call.
Yeah, I could have won 50,000.
Yep.
You know
what? 16,000.
Oh, if I would have cashed out, never look myself in the mirror again. Cash out.
That's an idea.
Cash out an all-time great bet. You know what? And we'll get to the question here in a second. I want to tell America something. If you are taking the cash out option, you're gambling over your head. If you are taking the cash out option, unless it is like a 20-leg parlay, you put $20 on, and now they're offering you, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to cash out, that's a separate circumstance. But if it is a reasonable bet, and you are like, oh, I got to cash out, I can't let this ride, then you're gambling for too much money. Whatever your budget is, you're gambling for too much money.
Well, I feel like if you're not cashing out, then you're just not watching these games, because who's to suspect that Brock Purdy is going to get hurt and then the game turns out like that?
Okay, well, listen, that's fine. I didn't anticipate Brock Purdy getting injured.
Exactly.
You're right, so I lose the bet. I lose the bet and I hold my head up high. It was a great bet. It was a 50-1 bet that I woke up Sunday morning, the day the bet was going to be that bet was alive until the very last day it possibly could be alive. And the final day, it is true. I bet which two teams would win the conference championship games. The morning of the conference championship games, the bet's still alive. The bet at that point in time had gone up in value 15-fold, and then it lost. I can't believe the producers and you and everyone having done this gambling show with me for 5 months still thinks hedging was an option. It's never an option. You make a bet because you believe in it, and then you see how it plays out. It's the same thing that when you see people playing poker and they're like, you want to run it 3 times or you want to just chop the pot. No. No. Are you here to gamble or not? Are we playing games of chance with a chance for high return, some loss with some skill involved? Or do we all or if not, this is, I mean, I go be a stockbroker. Hey, there's a lot of things you can do to safely get small returns. Call Merrill Lynch, put in a goddamn T-bill. I'm here to gamble. And I lost. I'm really disappointed in everybody here. Next.
All right, hedge your butts, fellas.
Okay, stop saying that.
All right, your 50-1 Super Bowl preseason bet fell just short, obviously. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. If only a full team of producers begged you to hedge.
Uh-huh.
But we're only 1,000 people away from hitting 100K subs on YouTube. Right or wrong, 100K is better than 50-1.
100%. I'm going to tell you this much right now. Now, part of this has to do with the fact that, like, I'm self-aware enough to know. I'm very blessed. I have a very good job. I make good money. But I will 100%, it will be more gratifying the moment we get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, if we do it before the Super Bowl, than winning that bet would have been. One is like a professional accomplishment. The other is money. Yes, right or wrong, 100,000 subscribers on YouTube is way better than if I'd hit that bet. New audience record, by the way. We have 31,000 people that have watched this in some capacity. We had over 9,000 live viewers, and our subscribers are we're at over 98,800. So we could end today, DeMonte, less than 1,000 people away from the 100,000.
Yeah,
which means we should hit it. Should hit it by the Super Bowl, which we were 15,000 away when the playoffs started, I think. So, or something like that. So that would be great. All right, let's read some fan questions because then I got to get to work.
All right, the chat is loaded with the chat is loaded with Eagles fans today saying you didn't respect them. Are they reminding you of how the Bengals talk smack before the AFC Championship?
No, I don't think there'll be much smack talk before this. And the Eagles fans talk all the smack they want to me. That's fine. I deserve it. I didn't respect them as a top team. I thought they were a good team. I didn't think they were a great team. I'm still not convinced they're a great team, but they're here. And they're healthy, and they are deep. And here's the thing. There is only one spot on the field. The Chiefs clearly have the edge in the Super Bowl. It's quarterback. The Chiefs have a good O-line. The Eagles have the best O-line. The Chiefs were second in the league in sacks. The Chiefs were second in the league in the sacks. The Eagles were first in the league in sacks. There's someone from Pennsylvania. Now I'm getting a phone call. It's from Pennsylvania. I wonder if it's a trolling Eagles fan. The Eagles, they have two star receivers in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. The Chiefs currently have none. I guess the Chiefs are better at tight end, too, but that's it. And so it's going to be, can Mahomes put the team on his back? And can Andy Reid scheme it up? And by the way, we might get to 99,000 subscribers before the end of today's show. We're less than 30 away. All right, next.
All right, Jack Rudolph says, what potential guest, athlete or not, do you want the most to come on What's Right?
I mean, if I could have anybody in the sports world, it'd be Bron.
Yeah.
I'd like to get Kelsey on. I think Kelsey would actually be more fun. I'd like to get Mahomes on if Mahomes post-Super Bowl felt comfortable enough to be honest. Not that he's not honest, but he's very, very buttoned up. Right. You know what I mean? He's never said anything.
Media ready.
Yeah, I mean, he's a billion-dollar brand. I get it. Kelsey, on the other hand, just be flying.
Yeah.
Maybe my favorite Chiefs celebration video ever came last night when Mahomes is getting interviewed on the sideline after the game. And Mahomes is literally saying, first of all praise goes to God. And before he can even finish thanking God, Kelsey comes over. He's laughing like a maniac and just goes, Burrowhead my ass. This is Mahomes' house. Mahomes is thanking God, and Kelsey's just being a total lunatic.
Reasonably so.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, we just hit 99,000 subscribers. Didn't get to your questions or comments. I'll see you guys in 3 hours on television. Should be the best rated show we've ever done. At least that's what I'm shooting for. We're going to do that on TV. This is the best podcast we've ever done. Great job, everybody. Talk to you guys on Thursday. See you at 3 p.m. on FS1. What's right?